talking about hearing from God, and it's very important to hear from God for a lot of reasons. One of them is for encouragement for yourself, but also to know what God's doing and what He wants to do. Mm-hmm. And God, we've been talking about, speaks in a lot of different ways because God has a purpose in our life. God's purpose in our life is that He would expand our ministry, wherever your ministry is, whether it's at home, whether it's on the job, wherever it might be. Sometimes God just puts us in a place where He can speak to us. If you think about the Apostle John, you would see how God worked in his life. He was a fisherman, and God called him first to leave his boats, leave his career, and start a new ministry, which he had never been in before, and that was to give out the Word of God. So God began to expand him out of his comfort zone and out of his box. And then he began to do missionary work around the world, and God expanded him again. And he was pastoring a church in Ephesus for several years. And suddenly he was persecuted, and he ended up on an island called Patmos. And on the island of Patmos, God gave him the book of Revelation. So God just continued to speak to him, continued to expand his ministry. And I'm not telling you that you're going to be a missionary around the world or anything like that, but I'll tell you this, God wants to expand you and me out of our comfort zones into areas that we hadn't thought about before where He might minister. And so in order to do that, you have to hear from God. You have to really come to a place where you're quiet before the Lord and then focus on Jesus Christ. We've been talking about these four things. Be quiet before the Lord, focus on Jesus Christ, and then begin to allow God to speak to you through your thoughts in your mind. And then you write them down. That's exactly what happened with John. He certainly was quiet. He was out in seclusion on this island. He was focusing on the Lord. And when he was focusing on the Lord, in this case, an angel came to him and began to give him the Word of God, which he wrote down in the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not going to tell you that God's going to give you a book to write down, but I'll tell you this, He can give you a lot of information to help you in your Christian life that you won't specifically read in the Word of God. Because God might want to tell you something He wants to do this week specifically in your life that you didn't find in Isaiah 10, if you understand what I'm saying. So God speaks through the written word, and God speaks through the spoken word, which we call the Rhema of God. God is speaking. You need to listen. If you need deliverance, if you need help, if you're going through trials, that's the time you need to be quiet before the Lord, focus on Jesus, listen to Him speak to your mind, and write those things down. Because that's one of the ways that you can hear from God. Now, God's not going to ask you to do something that He's not going to give you the power to do. So you don't have to worry about that. God's not going to ask you to do something He's not going to help you do or give you the power to do it. So you don't have to worry about that at all. Now, I'll tell you something else about God. He's very interesting. He's not going to push you. He'll give you the easy road if you want it. Are you listening to me? God will give you the easy road if you want it. Otherwise, He will give you the power to do what He's called you to do, and He's going to be pleased with you in eternity. Now, He's going to be pleased when we allow Him to expand us out of the box we put ourselves in, which I'm going to talk about today, because we have a tendency to put ourselves in boxes. And these boxes start when we're growing up as children. The way our family operated, the way our church operated, the way something else operated. And so We have a tendency to build a box around our life so that we'll be comfortable and nothing can disturb us or expand us either. We just want to stay in that box where we're comfortable. And that's, I'm going to tell you, God's bigger than our boxes. Are you listening to me? God's bigger than any box we put around our life. And sometimes wants to expand us out of that. And that's what I'm talking about today. And that's why we need to hear from God, because he will tell you when he wants to expand you out of the world that you have become very comfortable with in your life. God's not particularly interested in people being comfortable. He's interested in God and in people obeying him. That's what he's interested in at the present time, because he knows if you obey now, you're going to obey in eternity. If you obey now, you're going to be blessed in eternity, and that's what he wants for you and me. And so he's always thinking, if I can put it this way, outside the box. And so God always has ideas that he wants to bring to you. And so these ideas change over a period of time. So you have to continuously listen to God in your life. You can listen to people. You can listen to preachers. You can listen to Christian television and all of that. And it's good. And God speaks through some of that. But the issue is you need to hear him personally. And he's not going to strike you down because of something you did way back so-and-so. That's what the enemy wants you to think, but God is not that way. Now, God will always sometimes speak back to you by telling you a certain scripture, look up in the Bible, and you take that, you look that up, and you read that scripture out loud, and you meditate on it, and God will speak something in your life through that scripture. A lot of you have probably had that experience. How many ever had the experience God giving them a scripture to look up in the Bible? And then, okay, several hands going up. And so we need to understand how God speaks. And that's some of the ways. Sometimes, as I said before, he speaks through angels. Sometimes he speaks through circumstances. Sometimes he speaks through the Word of God, the written Word. He speaks in all different kinds of things. And sometimes God just plain agrees with something you're already thinking about him. It's just like God puts his stamp of approval on it. And that's important. So how are you going to obey God if you don't know what God wants you to do? And we all have basic things. In fact, sometimes we take these basic things and make our theology out of it, and that's not a good idea, because we start setting up rules for our life, and God's bigger than the rules, once again. God is bigger than any rules we set up. Rules aren't bad, but the idea is don't just say, I'm never going to step out of this box, I'm never going to step out of these rules, and so forth. And, God may talk to you and give you thoughts in your mind before you ever start praying. So he has all kinds of ways that he does it. And, when you talk to God and you pray to God and you don't seem to get the answer, or God didn't give you the answer you wanted, sometimes you need to go back and ask God why. He doesn't mind if you ask him why he didn't seem to answer a prayer, because the Bible says he always answers, and he answers in a lot of different ways. And sometimes if you don't get an answer immediately, you have to do what an old missionary said one time. If you ask God for something and you don't get an immediate answer, sometimes you just need to put it up on that God shelf up on the wall and wait till he answers, because sometimes he will. Sometimes it's not in his timing to answer you that question right at this point. And as I say, you just kind of put it on the shelf there. And there'll be a day when God says, get that off the shelf, I'm ready to answer now. You see, because God knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything that's going to happen to you. He knows everything that's happened to you. And so he knows when to answer your prayer and how to answer it whenever you ask. And really, you only learn how to hear from God by practicing these things that I'm telling you about. Be quiet before the Lord. Focus your eyes upon Jesus. And just start letting the thoughts flow in your mind. And as I told you before, your thoughts in your mind come from three places. They're not all from God. Sometimes they're from God, sometimes they're from you, and sometimes they're from the devil. And so you need to evaluate the thoughts in your mind, and just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's you. What the devil wants to do is trick you into thinking that your thoughts are you, and it may not have come from you in the first place. They may have originated from him. Now you have to have a hunger for the things of the Holy Spirit of God. If you want God to speak to you, if you want God to touch you, you have to have a hunger for the things of God. God in the Bible, the Father is pictured as love. The Father is pictured as love. The Son is pictured as the Word. And then the Holy Spirit is relationship and power. That's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Of course, Jesus is love, but he's also justice. And so that's why there'll be a judgment for believers at the end of the time. Not whether or not they're saved, that's already done, but whether or not what you did with what God gave you in this life. And the only way you're going to know how to use it properly is talk to God. That's the only way I know how to use your life properly, is to talk to God. Not just when you're in trouble, but all the time. You need to talk to the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot of things. Somebody asked Oral Roberts one time, as many of you heard from him, how do you go about learning to hear God speak? And he says, you have to want it bad enough and work on it. That's what he said. You have to want it bad enough and work on it. It's not going to happen just by accident. You have to work on these things. And you're not going to learn much about the spiritual world until you take time to be quiet and look upon the things of God. I talk about focusing on God, and everybody thinks about God up in heaven on the throne next to the Father. We see Jesus, and we're talking about focusing on that scene. Well, I do that sometimes, a lot of times in praise and worship. But you have to understand, if you're a Christian, Jesus Christ is on the throne in your life. In your life. In your spirit. Your spirit is the throne of God if you know Jesus Christ. And so you can focus on Christ in you, on the throne, in your spirit. And it's like you're walking up and having a conversation with God. Visualizing things and seeking God many times go together. We need to realize that God gave us the ability to visualize things, like the throne in heaven or the throne within us or something in the Word of God. And so it's a good idea to visualize these things. Now you can ask the Lord, Lord, when you get up in the morning, what would you like for me to do today? If you have any divine appointments or special things for me outside of what I've already planned, please show them to me. And you can thank him for that. And sometimes you need to say at the end, Lord, is there anything else? I don't want to miss anything. And it's just like you're having a conversation with your teacher or somebody. You don't want to miss anything. And this takes time and effort. And really, walking in the things in the spiritual life takes as much concentration and work as it does walking in your physical life. You've had a whole lifetime to learn how to walk in this body and how to relate to the world and things you needed to learn about health and wholeness and God and all those things. And you took an effort to do that. You went to school to learn how to read and to write and to do math and all those things. And you did a whole lot of work on how to relate to this world, You need as much work and as much time and as much effort to relate to the spirit world of God. Are you listening to me? It takes effort. It takes time. You have to get into the Word. You have to spend time in prayer. It doesn't come just sit around and say, well, whenever God wants to do, He'll do it and just go on. It's not that way at all. You have to learn the ways of God. That's why we have church. One thing is to teach the ways of God. And that's what we're doing. You know, people in the Eastern cultures, they don't have any problem understanding the spirit world because many of them worship spirits all the time. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about some of them have hundreds of gods. And many of those gods are spirits, and they understand the spirit world. And they understand there's a spirit world outside of the physical world we're walking in, and those spirits influence their lives. Well, we're not talking about all those spirits. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, you see. There is a spirit world. There's no question about it. You read about it in the Bible. Probably a third or a fourth of Jesus' ministry was casting spirits out of people because in that culture, they related, they worshiped the trees, they worshiped the forest, they worshiped animals, they worshiped everything imaginable. And these things behind all of this stuff and all of these idols were spirits. They're real. They exist. The Bible talks about them. And people, when they just kind of float around in life, many times they're floating around in a spiritual world they don't understand, which affects them greatly. And they come down to the end of their life and they say, I just don't know why all this happened to me. Well, I can tell you why it happened to you, because you didn't get into the Word of God and find out how God works and how these evil spirits work, and you don't know the difference, and you've allowed those things to influence your life. And I don't want you to come down to the end of your life and say something like that. And so that's why I'm talking about hear from God now. It's extremely important to talk to God. Now, look in Galatians 5:25. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. Get your Bibles. We're going to be in there for a bit. Galatians 5:25. And I want to look at a few scriptures today. All right, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. And this says, if you live in the Spirit... If we live in the Spirit, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. If we say we live in the Spirit, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to live in the Holy Spirit of God. Let us also walk in the Spirit, it says. And so that's a command of God, walking in the Spirit, not just walking in your own mind, walking in every influence you become involved in. And so I'm going to talk about the key to walking in the Spirit. And we're going to talk about some of these things. Look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then it gives a whole bunch of things here. Either there's works of the flesh and then there's works of the Spirit. In verse 19, the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like, which are all the themes, pretty much, that you watch on television. Isn't that right? Everything lately has been something about some spirit of some kind because of Halloween. I mean, every program you got in, you got something about some spirit or something. And where'd they get the theme for all this stuff? Where'd they get the theme for all the soap operas? They get it right here. It says the works of the flesh are these. And so if you spend all of your time watching secular television, you're watching the works of the flesh, and you're not learning the things of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? I'm just trying to tell you the basic facts that Christians ought to know. And so what's the fruit of the Spirit of God? Go to Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You can't make a law that makes people do those things. That's what it's talking about. You can't do it. It has to come from inside of you. And the only way the fruits of the Spirit is going to come from inside of you is you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, do you put those two lists side by side that we just read in that chapter and notice the difference? Let's look at it again. Works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, that includes drugs, and any addiction, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, and then go over here to the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Which would you rather have? Well, I'm going to tell you, you got to work at it. You got to work at it. God says he wants us to walk in the Spirit. If you just ignore God, well, the only thing you have is the flesh, and which are all these other things. And so God said there's one or the other. You're going to have to walk in them. And one of the biggest hindrances to walking in the Spirit is to have a bunch of rules for your life that have nothing to do with God. And a lot of people, they develop these rules from the time they're children all the way up to now, and they say, this is the way I'm going to live. Nothing's going to change this, regardless of how messed up they get. And the problem is, we love to live in these little comfortable boxes, and you can even have a comfortable box where you're sick all the time, but you're comfortable in it, and you don't want to get out of it. Did I say that? Surely. Oh, I guess I did. All right. So the thing is, I want to know how God gets rid of sickness, not how to hang on to it. Are you listening to me? The only way I can do that is study the Word of God, and I study the Gospels, and I look and I see Jesus touch somebody and leprosy's gone, and I say, hallelujah. And that's what God wants to see in his people. He don't want them messing around over here in verse 18 of Galatians 5 and that whole list of stuff. That's for the world. It's not for God's people. So we have to learn how to walk in love, walk in joy, walk in peace, walk in long-suffering instead of waking up every day and complaining, I have to get up today. You see, there's a whole lot of difference. You get up and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Don't you know that's different than that whole other list of stuff? And so we have to limit these things of the world, and we have to grab onto these things of God, and it's up to you and I. So we build these boxes, and Christians build boxes too, and they build the Methodist box and the Baptist box and the Presbyterian box and the Pentecostal box and the Catholic box and all these boxes. And they say, you know, I'm not going to step outside of this box and you're not going to grow in Jesus either. Are you listening to me? There's nothing wrong with some basic rules that holds you into place in God. I'm not saying that. And I'm not putting down denominations. I'm just telling you, you're not going to, all you're going to do is listen to what your denomination says, you're going to miss some things of God. Are you listening to me? You're going to miss some things of God. Because this Bible is bigger than any denomination, and God's world is bigger than any denomination. And you have to expand. You have to get into the Word of God for yourself. You don't just listen, or you can even listen to one pet preacher someplace, and that can be your box, and that'll also limit your life in Christ. Are you listening? I just give you enough information to make you hungry, I hope, to get in the Word of God yourself. I don't know it all, and I couldn't teach it all if I did know it all. It's impossible. But you need to get in there yourself. God's bigger than the box we made. You know, Moses got himself in a box. God said, I want you to, God expanded his ministry. He said, okay, I want you to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Why don't you go down there and bring them out? And Moses said, whoa, God, I don't know if I can do that. But he finally decided he'd go. He did, reluctantly, went down there, got him out of Egypt. But he never saw, because he was in this box just getting him out of Egypt, he never saw that he was supposed to get him into the promised land. And because of that, he never went in. Because he didn't want to get out of that box. He loved salvation, and that's wonderful, but he didn't want to grow from that point. He got him saved. He got him out of there. They were in the wilderness. They were supposed to be learning to go on into the promised land, but they were in this box, and they just couldn't see getting there. And all of them died in the wilderness except two. Isn't that interesting? I didn't say they died and went to hell. I just said they never got to the promised land, which was God's plan for them. It was his plan for them before the foundation of the world, not when they got saved. When you get saved, that's just the beginning. That's the time now you're a child in God, and he wants to expand you, and he's already got plans what he wants to do for you, not only in this life, but also in eternity. Well, you have to expand. God is bigger than this life. And so we have to let God speak to us at different times on what he wants us to do, because he's always got a plan for us. Now, I'll give an example. We had a missionary from Cambodia here. The guy lives in a hut on stilts in Cambodia with no electricity. You can kind of halfway imagine that. Think about camping out if you like to do that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, if he wanted to stay in the box in the United States, he'd have never gone over there. He would have never gone over there. But if he didn't want to get out of his comfort zone for God, he would never gone over there and did that work that he's doing now. And he's starting churches and people are getting saved. He's got a possibility of changing that whole nation over there, along with others that are helping him. Because God had a plan. He listened to the plan and he's doing the plan, and that's it. Now, we get our own little box together and we decide how much we want to witness, how much we're going to pray, how much we're going to disciple others. And then God speaks to you one day and he says, I want you to start a Bible study. And you say, that doesn't fit in my box. That didn't fit in my box, Lord. Or he might say, I want you to go to this Bible study. And you say, well, you know, that just doesn't fit in what I had in mind. There's not one apostle had in mind what God had for them, I'll tell you that right now. Not one of them had in their own little mind what God wanted them to do. So we set up our own little rules and our own little box, and we're going to be comfortable there. And God don't ask us to get outside the box. You want to talk to us about something in it, that's fine. And what you end up really doing is ending up feeling guilty because you know God wants you to do something and you're not doing it. Or you feel condemned or you feel depressed and you say, well, this Christian life just doesn't work. You're not working it. Aren't you glad you came today? You say, this just doesn't seem to be the abundant life that God talks about. Oh, it's amazing. All right, we have to adjust. You got to make mid-course corrections. You have to do it in this life anyway, and you certainly have to do it in the Lord. Now, some people go to churches, and that church wants to put them in a box. And what the box is that we got all the information you need, and don't you go to any other church, don't you listen to any other preacher, don't you do anything else. This is a box where you're supposed to be, And that's where probably more than half of the Christians are today. I was very fortunate because I was in a church, number one, they preached salvation, and that's where I got saved. You know, usually what happens is what is preached. If you preach salvation, people get saved. If you preach healing, guess what happens? People get healed. If you preach deliverance, people get delivered from demonic spirits and things. But if you want to stay in that old little box, if I just stayed in the same box, I grew up in the Methodist church. If I just stayed in that box, in that particular church, I would have died and gone to hell because I never preached the gospel. But when I did get older, I decided one day I wanted to go to church, so I decided to go to a Methodist church, and I went to this Methodist church, and this happened to be a Methodist church on fire for God. People were carrying their Bibles, and I told my wife, I'm not going back there again. There's just a bunch of fanatics in that place. They didn't carry Bibles in the church I grew up in. But anyway, I finally got turned around and God got on my case, and he drew me into this church. It was a Baptist church, great church, and they preached the gospel, and I got saved. But one day, a couple of people came in, and they sat in the back, and after it was over, one of the deacons came up to me and said, "Now, you got to be careful of those folks." I said, "Really? Why?" I sure said, "Why are we whispering?" He said, "Got to be careful of those folks." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "They're Pentecostal." I thought it was a disease. But we had our box. That church had about 250 in it then. It's got about 50 today. You understand what I'm saying? That's right. They didn't even peek outside of that box. Don't let any light in there. We're doing good in the darkness here. But really, nice people, good church. But that's really what happened. And you know, right in the middle, right in the middle of that box, God gave me a Pentecostal experience that they didn't preach on, and I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was good. So God began to expand me out of that box and got me into the Word of God, and I began to learn some things, and expanded my horizon, so to speak, and here I am today. But the issue is, I don't want to build a box here. You understand? I don't want to build a box in my life where I'm comfortable. I want to keep on seeking God. As long as I'm upright and breathing, I want to keep on seeking God. I want to know what God's doing. I want to know what He's doing today, and I want to know what He wants me to do. And I want to know who He wants me to touch and encourage and build up in Christ and all of that kind of thing. Because, I don't really believe one time God's going to mention one denomination in heaven. I don't believe He is. I'm not opposed to them. A lot of them are doing a lot of work, good work. They send out missionaries and all that stuff. And God bless them. I don't have any problem with that, and I'm not saying don't be involved in those things. I'm just saying have a bigger box than that denomination. Because God may want to do something a whole lot more with you than you could possibly imagine. You know, it's really interesting. The Apostle Paul, one time, he got over there where all those seven churches in Asia was, and he said, "God, I want to go to a place called Bithynia." It was north of there. He said, "I want to go up to Bithynia there and preach the Word of God. And God said no, and he gave him, I forget, a dream or a vision to go over to Greece, Macedonia. And he ended up going over there. And Peter ended up going up to Bithynia. So God knows where he wants you to go, but you have to hear from him, you see. And that's what I'm talking about, hearing from God. I will guarantee you that there isn't anybody sitting in this place today that God doesn't want to broaden your experience in him. And so you need to hear from God. You need to be willing to do it. God has a better plan. And what happens, you stay in your own little box. Usually they have the thing will end up, somebody will get mad at somebody and they'll divide the box. So you got two boxes, but they're all the same. Everybody's mad at everybody. Why do you think there's so many churches around? Somebody got mad at somebody. They say you go to a certain place down south there and you said you have a church on every corner. Well, you got Uncle Joe over here. He got mad at Uncle Jim. And so they both started churches. They both got boxes and they're both angry. And God's not going to be able to do anything with any of it. So we want to discover the life in the Spirit. It's about time for me to close. I haven't got started yet. Well, I'll just look a few scriptures here. Discovering life in the Spirit. What I want you to do is expand your horizons. Understand that God has a lot of things going on and a lot of things you wouldn't imagine he may want you to get into or do. You say, I'm too busy now. Well, he'll tell you what to cut out. Part of that box has to go. That's all I can tell you. But be willing to do what God wants you to do. I don't know about you. I want to end up at the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus says, well done, that good and faithful servant. Now, he's not going to say it just because I'm a pastor. If he says that to me, it's because I listened to him while I was a pastor, and I did what he wanted me to do. You see, and it's the same way with you. It's not any different. I'm not any different than you are. I just do what he called me to do as the best I know how, but I don't want to stay in a box. And I'll tell you, people have gotten mad at me because I didn't stay in the box. Other Christians have been unhappy because I didn't stay in that little box there. Well, God didn't want me to stay there. And so I had to move out of that and move into what I thought God wanted me to do. And that's what you have to do. Be careful about the boxes. Some of them are good. Some of them will keep us safe. But you have to keep listening to God to see what he wants to do. You would be amazed at what he might have you do. I want you to look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We're going to have the Lord's Supper here in just a minute. But I'm thrilled you're here today. I'm thrilled for the ones that are listening on the radio. And praise the Lord for you. John chapter 7, verse 38. Now, I didn't say this. I say it now, but I didn't say it at the time. Verse 37, in that last day, John 7, 37, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If you're hungry for God, come to Jesus. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, that's inside of you, not your physical heart, your spiritual heart, out of his heart or hers shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, whom they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And what's talking about there? When Jesus went up into heaven, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and he came and he filled up believers and he put a river in them. So if you're a believer, you have a river of God in you. Just like you drink physical water, you need to drink water of that Spirit. You need to be dipping in that on a daily basis. You need to understand about the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The power and the fellowship are in the Holy Spirit today. Jesus is the Word of God. The Father is love. All the combination of it is God. And God says you have a river of living water in there, and you need to dip in that every day. When you get up in the morning, Lord, I want to dip in that river. At noon, when you're thinking about God, I want to dip into that river. At night, when you go to bed, God, I want to dip in that river. I want to flow where the river of God's flowing in my life. I want to move in where the Spirit of God's moving in my life. With some of you, it may be teaching. Some of you may be preaching. Some of you, it may be music. And you need to dip into that river and get in the flow of what God's doing. There's some here today. We already got a word before this service ever started. God spoke to somebody and said, there's three people here today that are at a crossroads in their life. They're either going to go forward or they're going to go backward. I don't know if that they were saved or lost. I have no idea. I presume they were saved. I don't know. But anyway, God's already been speaking to somebody here today. We have an invitation here in just a minute. And that's for those during the singing and during the preaching received a word of God, and you can be obedient right now. It may be go pray for somebody. Jesus said we're to love everybody in this building right now. I said we're to love everybody in this building right now. You may have to work at it. You may be the type of person just like to kind of stay back, stay in the box, and watch everything go by. But God says you need to love everybody in this building right now. You may be here without Christ, without hope. You may be in big stress right this minute. And God wants you to dip into that water, that living water that flows out of the Christians that come to Him. God says, if you want to know me, you have to come through Christ. You cannot be a Christian or go to heaven without coming to Christ, personally receiving Him as your Lord and your Savior. I don't care what your church taught. I grew up in a church that didn't teach that. And I finally, God put me in one that did. And I said, oh my, that's what I've been looking for all my life. I want to come to Jesus. That's you. I want you to do it today. We're just getting started on this. You may be here and need prayer for healing. And God loves to heal those that have the faith to believe that He can heal you. And I pray you'll come today. There may be some here that are looking for direction. You may just need to pray with somebody. You may be delivered from something that's controlling your life that you don't like. It might be a person, might be an addiction of some kind. Let's stand before the Lord.